We'll go straight to our Old Testament reading this morning, which comes from Exodus chapter 1, beginning at verses 15. And this is all about the birth of Moses. Now, we realise here that because of the drought, the Jews came down out of Canaan into Egypt for food. And they stayed there, and they multiplied, and they multiplied, and the Egyptians become fearful of the multiplication of the Jewish nation amongst their people, and so put them into slavery. And they were still multiplying, and so they decided that they had to do away with the children that were born to the Israelites. And this is all about that time. And that was the time of the birth of Moses. Thank you, Margaret.
Exodus chapter 1, beginning at verse 15 to verse 10 of chapter 2. Verse 15. Then the king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrew midwives, of whom the name of one was Shiprah and the name of the other Puah. And he said, "When you do the duties of a midwife for the Hebrew women and see them on the birth stools, if it is a son, then you shall kill him. But if it is a daughter, then she shall live." But the midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the male children alive. So the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said to them, "Why have you done this thing and saved the male children alive?" And the midwives said to Pharaoh, "Because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, for they are lively and give birth before the midwives come to them." Therefore God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and grew very mighty. And so it was, because the midwives fear God, that he provided households for them. So Pharaoh commanded all his people, saying, "Every son who is born you shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive." And a man of the house of Levi went and took his wife, a daughter of Levi. So the woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was a beautiful child, she hid him 3 months. But when she could no longer hide him, she took an ark of bulrushes for him, daubed it with asphalt and pitch, put the child in it, and laid it in the reeds by the river's bank. And his sister stood afar off to know what would be done to him. Then the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river, and her maidens walked along the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the reeds, she sent to her maid to get it. And when she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby wept. So she had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrew's children." Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for you?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." So the maiden went and called the child's mother. Then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages." So the woman took the child and nursed him. And the child grew, and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. So she called his name Moses, saying, "Because I drew him out of the water." Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Margaret. This morning we're looking at the birth of Jesus Christ. We've also been looking at the birth of John the Baptist. And we see the hand of God upon these two women. And here we go back hundreds of years and we see the birth of Moses. And we see the hand of God upon the midwives of that time, and the blessing upon the Israelites as they were in slavery in Egypt. And here in that story, Margaret, in that passage of scripture, Margaret brought out that the midwives feared God more than man, thus allowing the survival of all the Hebrew babies that were born. Therefore, the population of the Israelites grew rapidly. And of course, we all understand from this reading that this frustrated Pharaoh so that he demanded the murder of all the baby boys. And when Moses was born, his parents did all within their power to hide him. Then there was the genius act of making a little ark and floating the baby Moses down the Nile, and God's protection was at hand because Moses' elder sister was on the bank watching all that happened. And then when they wanted someone to nurse the child, then Moses' actual mother was able to take this responsibility and be paid for it. Pharaoh's daughter found him, had compassion upon him, and as God would have it, Moses' actual mother was eventually called to nurse the baby, be paid for doing so. Do we trust God to look out for our every need? Do we recognise God's hand in all that is happening and has happened in our lives? Our New Testament reading this morning comes from Luke chapter 1, verses 39 to 45. And as I've said before, this is the plan of God. And we've learned already that the angel visited Zacharias when he went into the temple, and he was mute for 9 months. He's visited Mary and told her what's going to happen. And now Mary visits Elizabeth. Beginning at verse 39. Now Mary arose in those days and went to the hill country with haste to the city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened, when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord." This is a powerful time in these women's lives, that this miracle is actually taking place as they meet each other. And here we see the seriousness of dealing with babies in the womb. John the Baptist, it was we read earlier in Luke's Gospel, was Elizabeth was told that John the Baptist would be filled with the Holy Spirit within the womb. Within the womb. And millions of babies today are taken from the womb or aborted. It's interesting here that Mary is chosen to be the mother of Jesus, while her cousin Elizabeth is chosen to be the mother of John the Baptist, the forerunner of Jesus. In verses 39 to 41, we see here that Mary went with haste to meet with Elizabeth. We see here that Christian fellowship is so precious. And as Mary hears of Elizabeth's pregnancy, she travels to meet with Elizabeth. This visit lifted the hearts of both women, and together they are overjoyed for what is taking place in their lives. Not only were the two women delighted to see each other again, but the baby that Elizabeth was carrying leaped in her womb and she was filled with the Holy Spirit. What an extraordinary miracle by God given here and written in the scriptures for our benefit. Verse 15 speaks of the baby also being filled, that's as I referred to a moment ago. In verse 15 regarding John the Baptist speaks of the baby being filled with the Holy Spirit in his mother's womb. Would that be at the time of Mary's appearance on the scene when this child leaped in the womb? God's Holy Spirit is powerful and able to change our lives at any age and in an instant, even in the womb. We learn here that as believers, we need fellowship with one another of like mind. It is both a joy and an encouragement, and it gives reassurance to each of us, each and every one of us, as we meet together, and especially when like minds and hearts meet together, we can talk freely about the things of God. It's so difficult to even raise these subjects with the carnal world. In verses 42 to 44, Elizabeth's words of greeting here are profound. And again, they are the work of the Holy Spirit upon her heart. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. Notice here that Elizabeth did not say that Mary was blessed above women, but among women, which is true, for Mary was like all of mankind. She was a sinner needing to be saved by the grace of God. Now, we know well that some religions portray Mary as sinless Mother of God. And many today pray to Mary or through Mary. And this is a false teaching. Mary was a vessel by which Jesus was to be born. She needed a saviour herself. Similarly, if I can digress a moment, Mary Magdalene is portrayed as by some religions as a prostitute. And again, this is false teaching. Mary Magdalene was healed of evil spirits by Jesus, and then she gave her life to helping and support and to support Jesus' ministry. And you can read that in Luke chapter 8. We need to be careful when we study the Word of God. Blessed are you among women. Mary was no different to any other woman on the face of this earth. Do we realise the significance of the words, "My Lord," spoken by Elizabeth here? My Lord. But why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? The mother, that's Mary, who is going to be the mother of bear Jesus Christ as a baby, should come to me. The mother of my Lord, Mary said, Elizabeth said, spoken by Elizabeth here to, and this is speaking to every believer, my Lord. And in 1 Corinthians 12:3, we read, "Therefore I make known to you," Paul said, "that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord," as Elizabeth did, she said, "my Lord," "except by the Holy Spirit," my Lord. And Elizabeth emphasised Mary's faith, for she would have known of the great things that faith has done in both men and women of the past. These two women would have all known about Abel. They would have known from the teachings of the Old Testament about Moses and about Abraham. And later in the New Testament, we know about Paul and how God worked through him. These men, by faith, embraced the promises, and by faith they lived and walked and endured hardships. By faith, these men saw the unseen and the good things yet to come. They saw heaven as their eternal home. And these women are rejoicing in the same faith as these Old Testament saints. The faith of knowing that I'm a bondservant, a servant of God. God has laid his hand on me, and I will serve him with every fibre of my body. When we look back at these men of faith, by faith they battled with the world, the flesh and the devil, and by faith they overcame all to enter God's rest. And here was Mary about to do the same. And we can only try to imagine what Mary must have went through during her lifetime. Watching the hostility against Jesus Christ. Standing there watching him being crucified and being buried and then rising again from the tomb. The emotional roller coaster of this woman's life as she watched all these things be unveiled to her through her life. And so we see here that God had put the roots of faith down into these women. What do we today know about faith? The faith of God's elect, which is the result of the operation of God's Holy Spirit upon the heart of man. I've said here before that we are made in the image of God. But when you look at the goings-on that is happening around the world today, we can only say that we're made in the image of God. We look like perhaps an image of God, but our heart is far from God. Our hearts are cold. We read in the book of Joel that Joel said, "I've got to take that heart of stone out of you and give you a heart of flesh." A heart that will respond to the teaching of God. And here we have in Titus chapter 1 verses 1 to 3, this is borne out, the change in the heart of man. We all know that Paul, who was spent his life up until his conversion trying to deal with Christians and take them, have them imprisoned or put to death, and yet after his conversion, we read here in his letter to Titus, he says, Paul who's writing this letter, "I'm a bondservant of God and the apostle of Jesus Christ. This is the work of the Holy Spirit upon the heart of this man. I'm an apostle of Jesus Christ according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledgement of the truth, which accords with godliness, in hope of eternal life." And we all live today in our faith in Jesus Christ, we live in the hope of eternal life, like all those Old Testament saints, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began, but has in due time manifested his word through preaching, which was committed to me, Paul says, according to the commandment of God our Saviour. And he's written this to Titus, a true son in our common faith. This is the joy. Paul must have had great joy in writing this letter to Titus to instruct Titus in his Christian walk. But notice the joy he would have in writing to Titus. "Titus, a true son in our common faith. I need to know all these things. I need to know that there are other believers out there." And we all need that. We all need the common relationship, the relationship we have in common with other believers. we know that we are saved by faith. As the scriptures say in Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. This is the gift of the Holy Spirit. And it goes on, not of works, so there's nothing we can do to gain this gift from God. It is the gift of grace, the grace of God, the mercy of God, working through the Holy Spirit into our hearts. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. See, God has got to really watch over us, because we're covered in flesh and we're so eager that when we do something good, we want people to know about it. We want to boast about it. We see this on the sporting arenas of today everywhere. If there's a goal kicked in soccer, they run and slide across the ground and do all sorts of antics. The same with football. The same in tennis. We have this body of flesh that wants to show itself to be good. Mary believed the word of God, and now she's experiencing the power of God with the baby. So now, in believing God, let each one of us grow in faith. Better by far to be rich in faith rather than gold and silver. For gold will be worthless. Gold will be worthless when we have immortality. Yet faith in Christ will be our saving grace as we stand before Almighty God. When the great white throne is set, the books opened, and the dead are called from their graves to receive their final sentence. It is then the true value of our faith will be fully known. Blessed are they who believe. And I want to close with a reading from Romans chapter 8, verses 12 to 19. Paul saying here, he says, therefore, brethren, or therefore, brothers, or therefore, fellow believers, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit of God, you put to death the deeds of the body, and you will live, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by which we cry out, Abba, Father, or My Lord even. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. This is the gift of God, the Holy Spirit of God, as it was exercised here by Elizabeth and Mary. The Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I consider, Paul says, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. Amen. Amen.